Take your Bible, please, and turn with us to the book of Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians, the third chapter, please. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the Bible, precious Word of God. Thank you, Father, this morning for the privilege of standing reading this Word and knowing, Lord, it's your Word, it's true. Father, every jot and tittle of it is true. And I'm grateful this morning that, Lord, as we stand here to preach, that you've said that you would help me and you've impressed upon my heart to bring this message. And, Lord, I just want you to use it to your glory and to your honor. And, Father, whatever need is here this morning, you know that need. You know every individual's heart and you know the need of that heart. I would pray, Father, if there be any here without Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, that this would be the day they were saved. And Father, I pray for your children today that you would encourage their hearts and help them do whatever is needed in all of our lives that we might be better for you than we've ever been before. And I'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to bring a message this morning which I have entitled, Put Off, Put On. It's scriptural. We're going to find that out in a few moments, but we've entitled it that. And in chapter 2 of the book of Colossians, we find that, in fact, that whole chapter is a chapter of warnings. He's warning the people of Colossae there of many different things that they have to look out for and watch out for in their Christian lives. And over in verse number 4 of chapter 2, he says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." That was one of the things they had to be careful of, look out for. Down in verse number 8, he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." That was another thing he was warning them about, telling them to look out for. In verse number 18, he says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humanity and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind," other things, and I haven't covered all of them. There's many things in chapter 2 that he warns us about, says we have to be careful about. Now what he does in chapter 3, he gets down to the practical things of life. And he says, yes, be careful of all those things, but now I want to show you some things about life and how to live them. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that's basic. You keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ as you live this Christian life. And he says in verse 1 there, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." In other words, you keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ always, always, always. These other things are going to be there. There's going to be problems and troubles, and others will try to beguile you and get you off track. All of those kind of things, but you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. You remember that, and that's what I would say to the Blessed Hope Baptist Church this morning. You keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. You go along according to His book, the Bible, the Word of God. You go according to it. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse number 3 of the text we read, he says, "For we are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." First of all, I want you to know this morning, I want to give you about four principles here. I want you to remember something. According to the Bible, we died with Jesus Christ. You may not quite understand that, but that's what happened. I think you probably do understand it, but it's hard sometimes to understand that in Jesus Christ, we died also. I want to take you over into the book of Romans, the sixth chapter. Hold your place there in Colossians. And the sixth chapter of Romans, I want to read to you some portion of Scripture that might help you understand this. In chapter 6, verse number 1, listen as we read. Chapter 6 of Romans, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's a tremendous statement. God is saying to us, He's saying that if we've been saved, been born again, are we then to continue to live in sin any longer? No, it's not what God wants for our life. We're saved now. We're born again. We ought to be different. And then he says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What happens when Jesus Christ died on the cross? You and I was there. Those that accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we also died with him. We are dead in sin. Dead to sin, excuse me. And what a wonderful blessing that is. But listen as he goes on to tell us, for if ye have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He's saying to us, that's dead. The old man's dead. He was crucified. And he was crucified with Christ. We now should not serve sin. We should serve a new master, which we'll, of course, find out. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says now in verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now listen to verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus died. He says, you reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. Boy, that's hard for us to do. That's very difficult for us to do, but that's what God told us to do. We're going to reckon ourselves dead under sin. We'll kind of bring this together in just a moment. But listen to what he says. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now he says, you're dead under sin. You belong to Christ. You died in him. Now he says, don't let sin reign or take control of your mortal body. Don't let it stay there, because you're dead to sin. Now he says on, listen, neither yield or present or allow to be used your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield, present, or allow to be used, of course, by God, unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And then he says in verse number 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. What God is telling us is this. We died with Christ. We're dead in Christ. We're dead to sin. And what he's saying is, sin no longer has to have dominion over us. It is present with us, but it does not have to have dominion over us. Christ's death paid for that. And it does not have to. That's where we get in trouble as Christians many times. We'll say, well, so-and-so doesn't. Everybody does it. Please, please don't use that excuse. We are God's children, and if you're born again, if you're saved, you do not have to let sin reign in your mortal body. And in fact, the Word of God says we should not. Amen? And he's telling us that. He's telling people that belong to him that. He's telling us that we should do some things. Don't let your instruments, members of your body, be yielded to sin. In other words, that hand that may at one time stole, don't let it steal anymore. That hand that one time may have killed somebody, don't let it kill anymore. You see what God's saying to us? Don't yield the members of your body to sin, but yield them to God. Let God use them. Whatever He wants to use them for, let God use them. Now, over back into the book of Colossians, he's basically telling us in that portion of Scripture, verse number 3, that we died with Christ, and in Christ, listen to this, in Christ we have the power over sin. He's the power. Not us, not you, not me, not this old flesh, but Christ is the power. We died with Him. Not only that, in verse number 4, he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. We also, according to that verse, not only died with Christ, but we live in Christ. You see, life is whatever you're alive to. What is your life? What is life to you? What is the desires of your heart? What directs your life? It should be life in Christ that directs us in this life. A story goes about two sisters who used to be really pretty wild, and they used to go to all kinds of parties and things like this. And I mean, they were just known for their wickedness. And they went to a gospel meeting and got saved. And so it wasn't very long. They received a note, an invitation in the mail, and it was inviting them to another one of them parties. So they sat down together and they wrote a note. And they said, we regret that we cannot attend that party, for we have just recently died. That's good. You can't do those things any longer. Because you're dead. That's why God's people live different than the world lives. You're dead in Christ, and you're alive in Christ. You now live for Him. Amen? So that's why, and I thought it was good. I thought that was a wonderful note, wonderful way to put it. We can't come because we're dead. Amen? And that's true. So I'm saying again, we're not only dead in Christ, but we're alive in Christ. Then he also tells us in verse number 1, says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Not only did we die in Christ, or die with Christ, we live with Christ, and also we're raised with Christ. And that's why he's telling us that if you're raised with Christ, listen to that verse of Scripture. Now listen to me, folks. Is he talking to God's people here? I mean, is these scriptures, is he telling us, God's people, is he talking to us and telling us some truths that he wants us to know? Sure he is. And he says, now, if you be risen with Christ, what do? Well, you're to seek those things which are above. Seek the heavenly things. Seek the spiritual things. Why? Because you're dead to the things of the world. You're alive in Christ, and you're supposed to seek those things now, those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So he's telling us that's what we're to seek now, that we're dead, we're risen with Christ, we're to seek the things which are above. And that's why he said in verse number 2, and he's talking to Christians. And listen to what he's saying to Christians. He's talking to us. And he says to us, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Well, that's pretty simple. I mean, is there any way you can change that around and say that he's saying any other thing except you're to set your affections, your love of the heart on things above, not on things down here. Now, that's what God says he wants his people to do. Amen? Now, get hold of that. Don't pass it off. Don't shovel it on back to somebody else. Amen? It belongs to us. Belongs to each and every one of us. God says you're God's child. You're risen now in Christ. What do? Well, you don't seek the things. You seek the things from above, not the things on this earth. Amen. That's good scripture. Wonderful thing for God's people. Amen. So he's telling us that. Then we also find not only were we raised with Christ, we're hidden in Christ. And boy, I love this. In verse number 3, he says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I don't know about you, but I love it. I'm glad I'm hid in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you something. I want to go with me over to the book of John, the 10th chapter. I want to show you something. 10th chapter of John, and I want you to listen. In verse number 27, I'm going to start reading. I want you to listen to what God says. Now listen again. This is God's Word. Is it true? Is God's Word all true? Always true? Everything He says is true. Now here's what He says about someone who is His sheep. Who, in other words, who's been born again. He's become a Lamb of God in through Jesus Christ. Amen. We're one of the little sheep. We're the little lambs of God. We're His through Christ when we get saved. Now here's what He said, verse 27, chapter 10. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Wherever Jesus goes. He said, my sheep. He didn't say the devil's crowd. He said, My sheep hear My voice. This is His Word. That's His voice. And I know them. And they follow Me. Now, did He say that? That's what He said. Now, Jesus said that. And see, that wasn't the preacher saying that. That's Jesus said that. It's His words. Okay, now listen to what He says. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life. Now, I want to tell you something. Boy, that's sweet. God said, they're My sheep. I know who they are. They follow Me, and I give them a gift. Eternal life. It's theirs. Folks, do you understand that you, as a child of God, can never really die? Oh, I know the body does. I understand that. But did you know that you can never die? You have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's eternal. It's forever. And you can never, ever die. Now, I know the body will. Okay? I understand that. But you can never die. God says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That means never, 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 forever perish. It's an impossibility for a child of God to ever perish and go to hell. It's impossible. It can't be done. And neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Now I want you to listen very closely. God said, any man, and He's talking about mankind. He's not leaving out women there. He's talking about mankind. There is no man, no person that can ever pluck you and take you out of the hand of God. It's an impossibility. Can't do it. And do you know that even means you can't either? You yourself, because you're one of those mankind. You can't even take yourself out of the hand of God. I don't know of anybody who would want to, but you can't do it. When you become a child of God, a lamb of God, a sheep of God, you're His. And you're His for eternity. Now listen to what He says. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. I want to give you an illustration here. The only thing, I didn't bring anything with me except I've got a roll of breath mints, and most people are grateful that I carry a roll of breath mints. But anyway, I've got them and I'll use them. This is you. That right there is you. That's me. Okay? Now the Bible teaches us, according to the Scripture, if you know your Scripture, He teaches us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Sealed. He puts a seal on us. Until the day of redemption, the Holy Spirit of God has sealed us. Okay? And then the Bible tells us, as we've learned over there, we are in Christ, hid in Christ, who is in God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Now, I want to just ask you one question. Who's going to get through that to get you? Impossible. That's what he talked about back here in Colossians. Hid in Christ, in God. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen very closely. You see, I don't know your heart. And Pastor Ross, don't try to read hearts. I just try to preach. If you are saved, that's why he said, you remember up here in Colossians 3, if ye then be risen with Christ. If you are saved, if you're a child of God, if you're born into the family of God, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You're in Christ, who is in God, and there's no one can pluck you out of the hand of God. No one. And don't you feel bad about believing that. That's truth. That's the Bible. Nothing can take you away. But just be sure that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. In other words, be sure that you're born again. Amen. Just be sure that you're saved. Not trying to put doubt on you. I'm trying to say to you, God has so impressed me here lately to make it so clear and plain that there must be a time when you've been born again. You must be saved. You see, I don't know your heart. All I know is this. If you are saved, you're His forever. No one can take you out of the hand of God. Impossible. And I would say to you, if you're not saved, I say this kindly and graciously, please, please, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Become one of God's sheep. Be born into the family of God. Amen? Please, please do that so you'll be ready for heaven and you'll be sealed and you'll be in Christ and you'll be in God and no one can take you out of the hand of God. And when that day comes, you leave this world and into the next one, you won't have to worry about it because you're God's child. Amen? The rapture may come here any time. It could happen this morning before I get done preaching. And if it does, you want to go. Amen. You don't want to stay here sitting seated in the seat. You want to go. You want to go with Christ. Amen. If that should happen. So again, I'm saying to you, we're hid in Christ. We're His. Not only that, in verse number 4, going back to Colossians, verse number 4, chapter 3, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. Not only are we died with Christ, we live in Christ, we're raised with Christ, we're hidden in Christ, we also are glorified in Christ. What I'm saying to you, we're looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ to that day when He'll take us into heaven and will glorify us. In other words, give us glorified bodies. And that's what He told them to do. When Christ, who is your life, He's your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. You know, I go back to the Old Testament and I think about people like Joshua and Caleb. I don't know where you've ever given much thought to Joshua and Caleb. But Joshua and Caleb went over into the promised land and was two of the spies that went over there. The other 10 came back not believing. Joshua and Caleb went over there, looked it over and said, we can do it. The other 10 said, no, we can't. And of course, you know the story. They didn't do it and they spent 40 years in the wilderness. But do you know why Joshua and Caleb was different than the other ones? Their heart and mind was already in Canaan. That's what they wanted. That's what their desire was. That's where they knew God wanted them. And I'm saying to you, folks, Jesus is coming again. That's where your heart ought to be. You ought to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and it'll help you live right here on earth. It'll take away some of those temptations that you might have when you every day get up and remember that Jesus is coming and He could come today. It'll help you face some of those temptations that you have, and yes, you do have them. Every person does. Every man has them. Mankind has them. But it'll help you face those temptations when you understand the Lord Jesus may come today. Now, what He does is this. He's told us all of those things, and then He says, I want to tell you something. Now remember, He's talking here to God's children. He said, that's what you are. You died with Christ, you live with Christ, you're raised with Christ, you're hidden in Christ, and you're going to be glorified in Christ. Now, he said, I've got some practical matters that I want to deal with you about. I won't take a lengthy time, but I want you to listen very closely. What he's saying is this. Now you're God's child. Okay? You're born again. You're perfect in Him, but you're not perfect. You've got some problems. And He wants to deal with them. And here's what He says. Very first verse He uses in verse number 5 is mortify. You know what that word mortify means? It means put to death. Kill it. Kill it. Do away with it. Put it to death. And here's what He says. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. First thing He mentions is this. Now, remember, as I said, who's He dealing with? God's children. He said, now that you're God's child, you're God's child, okay? You're God's child. Now, here's what you do. You put to death these things. Fornication. Sexual immorality. You put that to death. You get rid of it. No more. Isn't that what He's saying? Now, you destroy that. You get rid of that. You don't do that anymore. That's what you used to do. Then He says, uncleanness. What He's talking about there is the mind. He's talking about the thoughts. Uncleanness of thoughts. Now, when you was not saved, you let your mind wander, and you got on these thoughts, and you just parked there and thought about them. He said, don't do that anymore. You get rid of those filthy thoughts. Now, remember, He's telling us things to get rid of. He's telling us things to put to death. Cut its throat. Put it to death. Get rid of it. Fornication. He says uncleanness. Inordinate affection. And he's talking about there those desires. And it doesn't have to be, because I think the next word is the more of the filthy desires. But there's the desires that can be that maybe are not considered filthy desires, but desires that are not godly desires. In other words, he's telling us to get our mind back on Jesus, and our desires of our heart ought to be the things of God. So he says, put them away. And then he says, evil, conspicuousness. And there he's talking about the wicked desires. Wicked desires that people have in their life. God says, now you're a child of God now. Now you mortify it. You get rid of that. You destroy it. You put it to death. You don't have those anymore. See what he's saying to us? Are you hearing? Why? Because we're God's child, not to become God's child. You don't do those things to become God's child. Faith and trust in Jesus Christ will make you God's child. But you do these things, get rid of these things, mortify these things, because you are God's child. Amen. Then he says, and of course then, covetousness, which is idolatry. I think everybody understands covetousness, who covet things, want more all the time. And then he says, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. He named those things, and he said, that's why God got mad at man. He said, the wrath of God came upon children of disobedience. And he says, you don't want to do that anymore. You don't want to be that way. No, that's what you used to be. In fact, that's what he says. In the which he also walked sometime when you lived in him. That's what you used to live. That's where you used to be. That's before you saved. That's what you used to do before you saved. Now that you're saved, you're God's child. Now let's don't do them. Mortify them. Kill them. Get rid of them. And then he says, but now ye also, some other things, put off all of these. And he names some things. And here's what he said. He says, anger. He's talking about anger as a habit of life. I suppose there's not a person in this room that hasn't, sometime in life, got angry. Sure you have. But anger ought not to be a pattern of our life. We should not live in anger. God says, you're God's child now. You don't have to live in anger. Don't do that. And he says, wrath. And wrath is speaking about those outbursts of anger. Wrath, outburst. Don't let that be a part of your life. Why? You're God's child. And he goes on and he says, malice. In other words, having ill will toward others. Malice. He said, no, you're God's child. No, no, no. You put that away. You mortify it. You put it to death. Correct? Then he says, blasphemy, and that's slandering others, slandering people. He says, no, 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 no. Uh-uh. You're God's child. You put that thing to death. You quit slandering people. Now you put that to death. You're different. Fortify it. Get rid of it. Put it to death. Then he says, filthy communications. I had a man tell me one time, got saved, and he said, Brother Ross said, one of the things that I've noticed, he said, well, after I got saved, he said, it was an amazing thing. He said, used to, every third word out of my mouth was a curse word. He said, I'm serious. He said, it's the strangest thing. After I got saved, it was a very short time. Every time that I'd even say something like that, it's just like the Holy Spirit just pounded me. He said, it wasn't very long. I just couldn't say those things. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God says, you mortify that. You get rid of those. That's the old life. Filthy communications are not for Christians. No. They're not for Christians. And then he says, filthy communications out of your mouth. Then he says, lie not one to another. Seeing that ye have put off the old man, and here's where we're talking about putting off, put off the old man. You are different now. Amen. You put those things away. And then he says, and having put on the new man. You see, it's not enough. I can't remember was whether I heard that at Southwire or Pastor Jerry. I'm not sure whether you preached it. But anyway, I can't remember. But you cannot take something away without replacing something. You can't put away the old man without putting on the new man. You won't win. You can't win. You have got to replace it. And that's why he did here. He said, yes, put off the old man, but put on the new man. Listen to what he says. Having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. He's talking about there, you have a new knowledge here, and the standard of that renewal is the image of him which created us, Jesus Christ. That's the standard of renewal. No other. Not your standard, not my standard, but the Bible standard. That's what we look to. That's what our new image should be. That which is in Jesus Christ who created us. And he says, you're renewed in knowledge in the image of him that created him. And then he says in verse number 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. And in fact, when we've been saved, it don't make any difference what you look like, what I look like. It doesn't make any difference what race you're of. It doesn't make any difference what nationality you're of. It doesn't make anything. When you've been born in Christ, you're in Jesus. That's all matters. You're in Jesus Christ. Amen. People all over this world accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've got different color skins. They look different than we do. Some have slanted eyes and all kinds of things. Don't make a difference. They're God's children. They're children of God. You know why? Because they're in Christ. Amen. So that's what he's telling them there. And then he says, put on, here's what he said, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Let me say something to you. When he talks about the elect of God, that means that God chose you. Well, that's sweet. God chose you to be a child of God. Well, that's pretty sweet. Then he says, put on therefore the elect of God holy. In other words, the word holy there speaks of setting aside. He said, now I've chose you to be holy. I've set you aside unto myself. You don't belong to anybody else. You don't belong to Satan anymore. You belong to me. And I've chose you. I've set you aside to be mine. And then he says, and beloved. I like that. We're beloved of God. We're elect. We're holy. And we're loved of God. Do you understand as a child of God this morning how much God loves you? All you have to do is read about the cross and read of the cross of Jesus Christ. You'll find out how much he loves you. He went there for you. Amen. And then he says, bowels and beloved and bowels of mercy. In other words, put on tender feelings of compassion. Here's what I want you to put on. I want you to put on some tender mercies of compassion. He says also kindness. I want you to have a gracious disposition. I want you to be kind to one another. We're all different. We all have different personalities. But he said, I want you to be kind to one another. Amen? I want you to be kind. And then he says, humbleness of mind. Talking about there is have the proper estimate of yourself and myself. Humble. Remember from whence we came. Make a difference who you are here this morning. Make a difference what your situation in life is this morning. You've got to remember something. There's no one better than anybody else in the eyes of God. No. No one in the eyes of God. We're all the same. We're children of God. Some folk may get more rewards than others, but that's not because God loves them more. It's because they decided to live more of a life that would earn the rewards, but it has nothing to do with God's love for them. God's love is absolutely the same for every individual in this room, standing or sitting. See, it's a marvelous thing. So he says, humbleness of mind, and then he says, meekness. The word meekness, best illustration I ever read of meekness was power and control. Moses was the most meekest man on the face of the earth, the Bible tells us, but he was a man who was powerful. Powerful man, but he had it under control. He was a meek man. Amen? He couldn't have if he had to lead 3 or 4 million Jews out of Egypt toward the promised land. He had to be a strong man. But the Bible said he was a meek man. The Bible also says long-suffering. That means to have a long temper. Don't let it fly off the handle. Don't wear a chip on your shoulder waiting for somebody to knock it off. Now that's what God said to put on. Take off all these other things. Put off all these other things, but put on these things. Amen? Put them on. That's what God says. Now, as God's child, he's telling you and I, get rid of those things we read about earlier and put on these things. That's what his desire for you and I is. Amen? Now, folks, we need to get back to the Bible. Start following the Bible, the Word of God, and following that. See what Jesus wants for our life. See what he says in his Word and do accordingly to the Word, not according to some trumped-up idea that we may have. But go back to the Bible, the Word of God, and begin to follow God's precious, wonderful Word and do accordingly. And then I'll just read these next few verses. I think I read these last week. But listen, forbearing one another means to, forbearing means to hold back your estimation or what you might do all at once. Forbearing one another, hold back. Be careful. Don't jump to conclusions. And then he says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. I want to say to you, listen, one of the greatest needs in the Christian life today is forgiveness. And that forgiveness will give you a peace of God that nothing else can. God says, forgive one another. Put it in the past, forgive. And he says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, do so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. God is saying to us once again, if you are God's child, you're risen with Christ, set your affections on the things above, not down here. And when you can do that, you can put off these things of this world and put on the things of heaven. Amen? Now, I want to close by saying this. You can't do these things if you're not saved. Impossible. If you're not born into God's family, there's no way in the world that you can really accomplish these things. You might put them off for a while, but they'll be back. Only in Christ can you have true victory. Only in Christ. I'm saying to you, are you saved? Are you born again? Are you God's child? Now, the Holy Spirit of God can bear witness with you that you are God's child. You know that. You may not be everything you should be, but you know you're God's child. Amen. You know that. If you don't have that bearing witness in your heart that you're God's child, you need to, at the invitation, walk this aisle. Come, let us. We'll have men standing here. And they'll get a lady. If it's a lady, we'll get a lady to help you. We'll get a man to help you. If you're not sure that you're God's child, you need to walk this aisle, come down this aisle, and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Be born again into God's family. That'd be the proper thing to do. Amen. Whether you're a young person, whether you're an adult, no matter, make any difference, you need to have the assurance in your heart that you're born into God's family. As a child of God, once again, I might say to you, as if you're having problems in your life and there's difficulties putting away some of these things, let me say to you that in Christ, He'll give you the strength and the power to put these things away, because he's the one that told us to put them away. He wouldn't tell us to do something that was impossible to do. So he's saying to you, I want to be your strength. I want to be your help. As we bow our heads in prayer, let's pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for the truth we've heard this morning. Thank you, Father, that you loved us so much. You died for us. You was buried and rose again. Should there be anyone here today, Father, that's not sure that if they died, they'd go to heaven, oh God, bear witness with their heart. Help them to come this morning, receive Christ as their Savior. Father, we as Christians work on our hearts, do that which is necessary in each of our hearts. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.